Welcome to the number one source for information, news, and opinion on your Columbus Blue Jackets. This is CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. Find us on the CBJ Radio SoundCloud page, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play Music, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Now here's your host, Bob McGilligan.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head off. You gotta see the show. It's a dynamo. You gotta see the show. It's rock and roll.
Welcome to another edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. It is a Monday mailbag edition as I return from about a one-month hiatus, and the NHL pause is just about officially over. That's right. Training camps open today in the National Hockey League. The Blue Jackets will be skating at the Ohio Health Ice House. They'll have a couple of sessions today. They'll have a couple of sessions every day for the next few weeks, next 2 weeks, actually. And then we'll be heading off to Toronto, which is the Eastern Conference hub city, to play against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the qualifying round. So finally, today, players are officially back. We can officially talk about what's going on with the Blue Jackets as they prepare for a playoff series. Yes, it's a play-in series, but the NHL has deemed that these statistics will count as playoff statistics. So the Blue Jackets, for a fourth consecutive year, have made the NHL's postseason. Now, I've got a lot of questions coming from you, and I'll start in just a minute. But the groups were divided up for the Blue Jackets training camp. And there has already been a little bit of controversy as I've looked around and I've read stories and I've been on social media. But there are some things that have happened with the groups that I know some people aren't happy with. And I'm going to start off by addressing that right now. Nathan Gerby is not in the playing group. Now, you have to understand, when I say there are two groups, the first one is the group that's going to play. The second one is what we normally call the Black Aces. Those are the players that have been brought in as insurance policies, if you will. They're not going to get into the lineup, but they are going to play at some point. Well, they could play. I'm sorry. Not they are going to play. They could play at some point during the time that this is all going on. So they are there as they're kind of like the Cleveland Monster guys, right? They're the they're the minor league guys that are skating and they're staying prepared, but they are not going to get into necessarily game one, but they might get into game two or three, or depending upon what you do from there on after. But Nathan Gerby and Kevin Stenlund, guys that have spent a considerable amount of time with the Blue Jackets this year, are in that group. And I know that has created some controversy amongst the fan base. How can they not be in the main group? Liam Foudy, who played all of two games for the Blue Jackets during the regular season, he is in the main group. And there are some people that are surprised by that. Do not count me on that list of people that are surprised by that. Liam Foudy is a first-round pick. Liam Foudy came in here from the London Knights of the Ontario Hockey League this year and played in a couple of games and impressed John Tortorella. How much did he impress John Tortorella? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, because he played a game in Buffalo. This was back in February. And I'm trying to think. I'm making sure I've got the right month. Yeah, it was February. He played a game in Buffalo for the Blue Jackets. Got his first NHL point. Blue Jackets didn't win the game, unfortunately. But he made an impression, as I said, on his coach. After the game, I asked him about what he thought about Liam Foudy. Now, keep in mind, this is a coach that many times says he doesn't like to make an assessment after one game or two games. He likes to see more of a body of work before he makes a full assessment. But I asked him after that game in Buffalo what he thought about Liam Foudy, and this is what he had to say.
We're going to miss him. I'll tell you right now. He is, I think he's 18 minutes tonight on the ice. I really like the way he plays. We don't have him tomorrow. He has to go back and play. We'll miss him in our lineup. He's playing better. He played better tonight than some of our veteran guys.
So there you go. That's what he had to say on that day. Now, he did have to go back to the London Knights because by rule, he wasn't allowed to stay. When both teams were playing on the same night, he had to be there to play for his junior team. So that's why he was leaving. So he got the attention of John Tortorella. Torts likes his speed, likes the way he handles himself, and that's why he's in the first group. And this is a team that has been built on youth year after year after year after year. Last year it was Alexander Texier that played in the final regular season game and then was in the playoffs for the Blue Jackets. Liam Foudy looks to be that guy this year, and that is a great decision, I think. I really do. Right? He should be in the lineup. No offense to Nathan Gerby. Nathan Gerby has done great things for this organization. He had great games for this team during the regular season, but he does not have the same offensive skill as Liam Foudy. For a team, let's not forget, that is offensively challenged at best. This is a team that needs to find a way to score goals. Liam Foudy might be one of the answers to them scoring goals. That's why he's in the first group. Kevin Stenlin, you know, I saw something ridiculous about take out Alexander Winberg and put in Kevin Stenlin. You can get as mad as you want to at Alexander Winberg for not producing the way you think he should as a first-round pick, as a 14th overall pick in his draft class. But there's no way – listen, no offense to Kevin Stenlin. I really like what he's done this year. On the power play, he's been good, and they need help on the power play. I'll admit that as much as anybody. But there's no way I'm taking a veteran who plays – defensive-minded hockey like Alexander Winberg out of a series against a team that is all about offense, and I'm talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. So that's what I think about the groups. I'm not surprised, and I also know that John Tortorella changes groups like he changes underwear. It doesn't matter what it is today. It could be totally different tomorrow. So for those of you that for the last couple of days have had your own panties in a bunch about it, just relax. Because nothing is set in stone. We're not even close to being set in stone. You know, unless you're Nick Foligno or Pierre-Luc Dubois or Seth Jones or Zach Werenski, you're not set in stone. And there are others on that list. I get it. But I'm just saying, don't relax. Don't relax because there are guys that are waiting to get into your group. And if you give them the opportunity, John Tortorella will put them there. All right. Let's get to the questions today, shall we? I've got to look more. I've got to get more sophisticated here. I've actually got to get glasses on so I can read what I'm doing. But anyway, let's get to your questions. Let's start with a voice question. First and foremost from Mike. Here we go.
Hey, Bob. Mike the Fireman here. Had a question for you. In this environment where we have an abridged season and they are playing for the Stanley Cup, and then take a month off and then immediately start the 2021 season, should we be playing for the Stanley Cup at this point, or should we bring back the O'Brien Trophy for this particular instance? And the reason is it fair to have the Stanley Cup basically for 1 month? I mean, it's great, but there's always going to be that asterisk after the 2020 winner. Yes, they won the cup, sort of. So should we even bother with the Stanley Cup this year?
Well, Mike, it's good you're a fireman because you're going to take my fire on this, because this is another thing that I'm sick of. This is another thing that drives me batty, not awarding the Stanley Cup because it's not a regular Stanley Cup type of season. You're going to come back a month after and somebody else is going to challenge for it, blah, 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 blah. First of all, what is the O'Brien Trophy? Well, the O'Brien Trophy is a retired trophy, actually. The National Hockey Association used to get that trophy awarded, and the National Hockey League did use it for some period of time, but this was a long time ago. It was awarded from 1910 through 1917 to the National Hockey Association champion. In 1921, it was transferred to the National Hockey League, and then it was awarded to the NHL playoff champion until 1926-27. From 1927-28 until 1937-38, it was awarded to the Canadian Division regular season champion. And then in 38-39, it was awarded to the NHL playoff runner-up. After the 1949-50 season, it was retired, and that's where it needs to stay. I don't want to hear about this not a Stanley Cup season. This is the National Hockey League. They're going to award the Stanley Cup. I don't care. And I this asterisk thing, who cares? You actually have to do more this year to win the Stanley Cup than ever. Do you realize that, Mike? Do you get it? If you are a team that is in a play-in series and you win the Stanley Cup, normally you have to win 16 games to win the Stanley Cup. You will have to win 19 games to win the Stanley Cup. If you are a team that is not in a play-in series, you still have to win the 16 games. However, your seeding could change because you have to play a little round-robin tournament of your own before the actual Stanley Cup playoffs begin. It is harder this year to win the Stanley Cup. So why get some trophy out of retirement? Why go up to the Hockey Hall of Fame, drag this thing out of the trophy room, and give it to a team who doesn't care about it? They want to hoist the Stanley Cup. That's what we're all here for, is to hoist the Stanley Cup. So the answer is no. No. You know, the biggest penalty for winning the Stanley Cup, it's not going to be a little asterisk on a list of paper. That's not what it's going to be. It is going to be potentially that you cannot have your Stanley Cup parade and you cannot celebrate your team winning the Stanley Cup because of what's going on in the world. That's going to be the bigger penalty. And I will tell you this, I would gladly look at that asterisk next to Blue Jackets for the rest of my life and feel great about it instead of looking at some O'Brien trophy. Okay? You can take your asterisk and you can put it where the sun don't shine because I ain't buying into it. It is harder to win the Stanley Cup this year than ever. Want to put an asterisk? Do that. This team had to overcome more odds than any other team to win this trophy. That's what I think about that. All right, I've got one more voice question here. And this is coming in from a long ways out, actually. So here it is.
Hi, Bob. Predators fan here. So I was wondering what you think the process will be when we do get back into the NHL. Because, you know, the national commentators will be able to go in there and commentate. But do you think you'll be able to go in, you know, with the limited amount of people in there? I'm wondering that with my local commentators, too, with Willie and Mason. Thanks, Bob. Love listening to the show every day. Thank you.
So a Predators fan checking in on the show today. So thank you for that. That question actually goes hand in hand with another one that I have. And this is from Kelly, who sent it to me on Twitter at Bobby Mac Sports. Kelly says, what changes will you and the media be required to make to be able to cover the teams and the games? Well, you know, just as the Predators fan is worried about his TV crew of Willie Donick and Chris Mason, Jeff Rimmer, Jody Shelley, and I, we're not going to be in Toronto. We are not going to be on site. We are going to be here in Columbus. We're going to be calling games off a TV screen. I'm going to be honest with you again, because I always am. I'm not looking forward to this. I think it's going to be a much bigger challenge than being at the game and doing the game. I know it's going to be. I have no idea what kind of views I'm going to get. I don't know if I'll be able to see the entire ice. I don't know if it's going to be a regular TV feed. I don't know how easy it's going to be to pick up the numbers of the players. I know nothing. Nothing. I've never done this before. Never. Look, I've done this for 30 years, and I've never done this. So it is going to be a new challenge. I'm, again, not looking forward to it. There is no way I would ever pick not being at the game. Fans or no fans, there is no way I would ever pick not to be at the game. The national broadcasters will be at the game. They will, NBC, Rogers Sportsnet in Canada, they will be allowed to broadcast on site. Why that's not true for the rest of us, I have no idea. None. Even if they didn't put us in the bubble, which I think we should be in the bubble. Because in the bubble, we can take you inside the bubble, we can do our regular features, we can be with the players, we can do everything we normally do. Now we're not going to be allowed near the players. The interviews are going to be Zoom calls. There's not going to be one-on-one interaction. There's not going to be that extra, stepping into the dressing room and pulling a guy aside. There's not going to be seeing a guy out for dinner and asking him a question that you might not be able to ask him. Or you're not going to be able to ask him on Zoom. It's just going to be different. And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. But it's going to be the way it has to be. per the league and per the world right now. So that's what we're looking at. And in case you can't tell, I can't wait to do games, but it's not going to be like doing games normally. Energy, none. You're not there. Like I said, I don't know what I'll be able to see and all of that. So, yeah, I'm concerned about it. Very concerned about it because I don't know. You're always concerned about the unknown in life, right? So I'm concerned about that. All right, let's get to some other Twitter questions here. Let's get to the Josh Anderson thing. Why don't we? Jacket Badass says to me, well, this time off and the Blue Jackets getting players back, or with this time off and the Blue Jackets getting players back, do you think that Josh Anderson will be back? So that is one question about Josh Anderson. I've got more that involve Josh Anderson here. Avi Stein says, what are the rules for players returning from the injured reserve list while the teams are in the bubble? Will Josh Anderson be allowed to join the team if and when he is cleared to play? Jonathan Zygmunt says, do you think Torts will have Anderson and Jenner marking Matthews and Tavares, trying to body check them all game like they did with Tampa last year? Toronto is not physical, and it would be smart to crush them in the open ice and along the boards. All right. So let me address all of the Josh Anderson stuff there in one sweep. And I will start with is he going to play or not? He is not going to play at the very beginning anyway. He's not ready to go. He's still recovering from his shoulder surgery, so he is not ready to go. But he can come into the bubble. The Blue Jackets are expected to leave a roster spot open for him to return when he is ready to return. So, yes, he can enter the bubble when he is cleared to play. But he is not going to be cleared to play right from the outset. And the other thing is, as far as the checking. So, obviously, he won't be checking Austin Matthews or John Tavares. But that is the way the Blue Jackets are going to have to play this game, these games. They're going to have to play physical. The game plan for the Blue Jackets is quite simple. All they have to do is refer to the 20 – what is this? This is 2020, right? So, it's 2019. They have to refer to the 2019 game plan against – the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's the same thing. You have a team that is very offensively gifted in the Toronto Maple Leafs. I think Tampa was a better defensive team. There's no doubt they were a better defensive team. Vasilevsky's a better goalie than Frederik Andersen, and their defense was better than what the Leafs are going to throw at the Blue Jackets. So they are not a physical team. They are a high-flying, high-scoring team. You've got to slow them down. You can do that with physical play. The Blue Jackets will have to do that. It is going to be of dire importance that they put the body on the members of the Toronto Maple Leafs throughout that entire series. There is no question about it. So that's the way they're going to get it done, if they're going to get it done. And remember, if they don't get it done, I'm not saying this to advocate it, but I just want to remind you, because I haven't done a show here for a month. And in that month, the Blue Jackets had the draft lottery, or the NHL had the draft lottery. And the Blue Jackets could qualify for the first overall pick because Detroit didn't get it. Ottawa didn't get it. It's wide open. It is a placeholder team. One of the teams that loses this play-in round is going to get, as a prize for losing, the first overall pick, Alexei Lafreniere, who is a very talented, offensively gifted guy. So just keep this in mind. I want the Blue Jackets to win. You want the Blue Jackets to win. If they stub their toe against the Toronto Maple Leafs, they will have a 12.5% chance of winning the second draft lottery, which means getting the first overall pick. Okay? Do not forget that in this process. It's very important because there are seven other teams that haven't forgotten it either. Everybody wants to win, but if you don't, not the end of the world this year, because you might be the winner of the lottery. Really interesting, huh? Really interesting how that whole thing played out. Mark Carell II. The NHL initially said the teams would not be playing in their city if that city was chosen. Have you heard an explanation for changing their minds and allowing Edmonton and Toronto to play on their own ice? Seems to be an unfair advantage since they know the boards and the glass better. Mark, I know they said that. I know there was talk about flipping the East to the West and the West to the East. Let's be honest about it, okay? They want to play three games a day. It's about time zones. I never saw that coming to fruition. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't. If you want to play games at 12, 4, and 8, okay, then your Eastern Conference games have got to start at 9 o'clock in the morning. And that's just, look, playing a game at 12 is going to be weird enough, but playing a game at 9 o'clock in the morning is, no, it's just not going to, I never thought it was going to happen. And look, is it, yeah, okay, so they know the boards and they know the bounces and, you know, it's not like they never lost in their own building. Toronto lost in their own building to a Zamboni driver who was playing goal for the Carolina Hurricanes. So that would be my example of who cares? Who cares? You know, it's not going to be like, well, the home team will be decided by seeding, right? So the Blue Jackets won't have the last line change. Oh, well. There's also not going to be a single fan in the whole place. It's going to be dead. You don't have that advantage. They're going to make them stay in the bubble. They're not able to go home and sleep in their own beds. They have to stay in the bubble. So it's not the big advantage that you think it is, in my opinion. I don't think it's that big a deal. I really don't. It's a nice talking point, but all in all, it's just a bunch of nothing, I think. Eric Seeds has a great question. With both the goalies receiving two-year extensions, who do you feel the team should start in game one against the Leafs? I'd pick Merzlikins because of his .926 even strength save percentage, and he was number 10 in the league. I'm curious to hear your thought. Well, I'm not going to look at any numbers. I will look at who got selected to play as an NHL All-Star, and you will look at who had 5 shutouts in 8 games or whatever it was. And we both will have a valid point. And I would pick Korpisalo because he's a veteran guy. He's, you know, he's been through it before. Merzlikins hasn't been through it in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Maybe that's a weak argument by me. I don't think it is. I think this is totally different from world championships. I think it's totally different from the Swiss League championship. As a matter of fact, I don't think that. I know that. I know it. It's the Stanley Cup playoffs. No matter how Mike the Fireman wants to slice it, it is the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm going with my number one guy. To me, Jonas Korpisalo is my number one guy. Again, he was an NHL All-Star. Didn't get to play because he got hurt. But he earned that. And this is a great thing. This is what I really want to get through to all of you. To have this conversation, to be able to have an actual argument and counter-argument about it is terrific. Because they both may have to play. If you start Korpisalo in the first game and he's no good, then Elvis comes in. It is that simple. You don't even blink an eye. You don't have to think about it. It's not like the past where if Bobrovsky had a bad game, you were going to shrug it off and you were going to put him back in because he was your guy. Anybody can be the guy. And if you're not good enough, somebody else is getting a chance. And if you're not good enough, the other guy's going to get a second chance. And there is nothing wrong with that. I think that is great. I think that competition for that spot is going to be tremendous between those two guys. Jonas Korpisalo, let's not forget this, okay? Years ago, we like to go back and talk about the Cleveland team winning the Calder Cup in the American Hockey League. We love to talk about it. We love to talk about Oliver Bjorkstrand and all the goals, the game-deciding goals that he scored. We love to talk about Zach Werenski coming out of college in Michigan, getting onto that team and winning a Calder Cup. We love to talk about Josh Anderson being a part of it. We love to talk about all of that. What we don't talk about so much is Jonas Korpisalo starting the first game and not doing well, and Anton Forsberg coming in and never giving the net back to him the entire way and winning the Calder Cup. We never talk about that. Why don't we ever talk about that? Well, I don't talk about it because I don't want history to repeat itself. I want Korpisalo to go in and play and play well and keep the net. And why is that? Well, because the Blue Jackets could win the Stanley Cup if that happens. It's as simple as that. And if he's not good enough, I want Elvis to go in there and I want him to take the net and I want him to win the Stanley Cup. So this is a great thing to have two goaltenders playing like these two have played during the season. and to have, I think they've got a great opportunity to win with either one of them. And I think that when either one of them is playing their best, they're better than the guy they're going to play against on the other side. Now, I hope that doesn't come back to bite me, but I think that. Okay? So that's where I am on that question about the goaltenders. And that's a good question. And that's one, that's my favorite question of the day. It is, because I love that. I would love to, it's a debatable question. You know, in this day and age where you can't debate with anybody, when it's either my way or the highway, no matter what you're talking about, it seems in life, I love having a question where you can actually have debate. Like, I can have my guy, you can have your guy, and we can switch. In the middle of the conversation, we can switch and still both be right. So I love that. That's why that is my favorite question of the day. And finally, this question from Tony Hefner. He says it's the most important question of this training camp. How is David Savard's playoff beard looking? I don't know yet, Tony. I won't know until I see him, and I'll see him from a distance. Hey, here's what we have going on for you from the Ohio Health Ice House for training camp. It's going to be me, Jody Shelley, Jean-Luc Grandpierre, Jeff Rimmer will all be involved this week, live streaming practice. So today is Monday, the first day of training camp. Practice is set to start at 1 o'clock. So 1 o'clock, go to BlueJackets.com. There'll be a live stream. I know we're putting it out in a bunch of different places, so go to BlueJackets.com to find out exactly where it will be. I know it'll be there. So, and I think it's going to be Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, whatever. But anyway, go there, BlueJackets.com. Get the information as to where you'll be able to find the live stream. We'll do that at the beginning of practice, probably for the first 20 or 30 minutes of practice. Practice will start, I believe, starting tomorrow. It'll move to 11 o'clock in the morning because today they want to get in. They want to make sure that everybody's tested and all that jazz, and they're doing everything they need to do. They're trying to figure it out as well. And there'll be some scrimmages along the way during camp we'll have for you. We don't know when those are going to be. Those could be impromptu. So BlueJackets.com is where all of the information is for you to find out. Also, the Blue Jackets, Facebook page, Twitter. You can find the Blue Jackets on Twitter. It's all going to be there. The information will be at your fingertips. You'll be able to find it, okay? But we're going to do live streams for you from camp. The Inside Edge returns on Wednesday night. Jody Shelley and I will bring you the Inside Edge on the flagship station of the Blue Jackets Radio Network, 97.1 The Fan in Columbus. Also, you can get it at BlueJackets.com, and we will post it as a podcast the next day in case you miss it. So the Inside Edge is coming back on Wednesday this week. As we go through, that could change. The day could change because we have no idea what the game schedule is. I know what days there's going to be games, actually. So I guess I do know. I actually do know what if it's going to stay on Wednesdays or not. And anyway, I'm not looking it up right now. But if there's a game that conflicts, we'll move the day. We'll have the show. This show will not air again until next Monday. I've got to go out of town later this week. So next Monday, we'll do another Monday mailbag. But again, the streams will continue from the Ice House, whether I'm hosting or Jeff Rimmer's hosting. And as I said, Jody Shelley, Jean-Luc Grandpierre will all be involved. We'll get you ready for the reboot, for the Stanley Cup playoffs that are about to begin in a couple of weeks. The Blue Jackets play their first game on August the 2nd in Toronto against the Maple Leafs in the play-in series. Thank you for all your questions today. They are always appreciated, and they're always well thought out. Whether I rip you for them or not, they are well thought out on your part. So thank you very much. You can send me questions anytime on Twitter at Bobby Mack Sports. Email me, BobbyMack@BlueJackets.com. Any way you want to do it is fine with me. Get ready for training camp. It is coming back in the middle of July. Who'd have thunk it? None of us. That is for sure. Thanks for listening to this Monday mailbag edition of CBJ in 30, presented by Telhio Credit Union. I'm Bob McElligan, saying so long.